Yud Aleph Tammuz, Wednesday the 19th of June, Rabbi David Bedil, car damage from a security gate, who is liable?
Good morning, y'all. I thought I'd like to talk about, as you mentioned, the security gate. It's a typical South African shiner, but I think it has ramifications which can also apply everywhere, just as well. Okay, so we'll just start with the basics, and then we'll get on to the shiner and discuss the various pros and cons. The Torah talks about Arba Avos Hazikin, which is really, as we all familiar with the beginning of Bava Kamma, that there are four types, four categories of Avos Hazikin, which means that it's forbidden for a person to inflict any damages, and not just that he has to pay, should damages be incurred, but furthermore, obviously, it's also forbidden to do so. It's not just that the Torah says that if someone damages an article, then you have to pay, but it's permitted to damage the article. That's not the case. The Torah actually forbids one to inflict any damage, and either because it's it branches out of the Issa of Geneva Gzela, which means just like one can't steal, so too to inflict damage is also something which is, it's a type of Gnei Megzela. The Torah says in Lashon Kishem, just like it's forbidden, we're all familiar with the fact that it's forbidden to steal, so too, it's forbidden to inflict damages on any item belonging to your fellow friend. And Rabbi Yaina actually says clearly that it's a Issa Mitzad Gnei Megzela. Others say it's Mitzad Batashkis, it's certainly the case, and it could be also infringes on Hashavas Aveda, which if there's a chiyuv, if we're obligated to actually return someone's object that's lost, or that's been stolen, whatever the case, then one's obligated to return it to one's friend. So certainly one has to be careful not to inflict it melechatchina. So certainly one shouldn't, so there's an issa, come on may, there's an issa to be mazik any article or any estate, anything at all belonging to someone else, one can't be mazik, and should one be mazik, then one has to pay. Now the Torah categorizes it into four different categories. There's shoyer, boyer, and eish, and then there's odom mazik. Odom mazik, all familiar, means that a man goes ahead and inflicts damage. His own self does it. That's called odom mazik. I mean, even in today's world, even if someone actually injures someone driving a car, if whilst he's pressing the gas, he then injures someone, God forbid, then that's Adam HaMazik. It's taken from the Rosh in the Tshuva. The Rosh in the Tshuva talks about a case of someone charging with a horse. So the Rosh considers that to be Adam HaMazik, although it's also the horse that's cooperating with him, but nevertheless, it's considered Adam HaMazik. Shoyer is something which one momen amazik, which means that it's basically an animal of someone, a balchai, that's mazik, belonging to you. So shminosan alecha, you're responsible to make sure that it's not mazik. Then we have boyer neish. Now those are the two which we'd like to discuss today. Boyer neish, boyer is basically a pit which someone has dug up, and the Torah doesn't allow you to dig that pit. And should you dig that pit, then you have to bear the responsibility that should something be damaged, should the shoyer fall in, then you'd have to pay, you'd be responsible for any of the injuries. And eish is something where someone's fire. You neglected your fire, you allowed it to go out of your own domain, and you're a mazik out of a result of that. So that's something which also you ought to bear responsibility, and the Torah says, Shalim Yishalim Hamaves Abeira, that you have to pay for the fire, that of any injury or anything that's resulted out of it. Eish, there are two different types of Eish. There's Eish Mishum Chitzov, which means to some extent, often enough, Eish is considered as if the man himself has done the damage. But there's also Eish Mishum Amayinai, but it depends on the case, but whatever it is, Eish is something which is one of the four categories of mazik. Now each one has its own halachas, has its own laws. For example, boyer will be poton kainim. The Torah says shoyer b'lo adam, chamoyer b'lo kainim, which means that it's dafka if a shoyer or a chamoyer falls into the boyer, then there's a chiyuv. But if it's if the Canaan, the vessels that it may have on it, if anything happens to that, even if it gets damaged, you wouldn't be chayim for such a thing. The simple way to understand it, just exerus hakosel, but there is a way that Aruch HaShulchan does explain that the reason, the logic behind it, as to why the Torah exempts the person from paying for such a thing, is because it's something which a man generally looks over, that means a man who's guiding the ass or the donkey, whatever it is, with the vessels on top of it, generally tries to make sure that it shouldn't fall anywhere, and therefore the Torah didn't deem it necessary that the man who dug the boy should be the one responsible, because the man who's guiding the behemah, he's the one who's actually taking care that nothing should happen. Even though he may not take actual care of the animal, perhaps, because the animal, he understands, knows where it's going, but at least the vessels on top, he's very careful about it, and therefore the Torah didn't think necessary to be mechayev the bala boy. So boy is potom and kenim. Kenim is anything that's not bal chayim, anything that's not some a living animal. So it's a keni. Whilst in the case of Eish, for example, Eish is chayim on kenim, but Eish has its own patur, it has its own exemptions. Of tomun, for example, if something's been covered and you can't see it, so then it'll be potom. That's a patur of tomun. In the case of Eish. So each one has its own halachas. For example, people aren't aware, but even a peel of banana, if someone mistakenly dropped into Rishus HaRabim whilst walking, then that's a boy in Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't have to be an actual pit. It could be anything that's able to be mazik, and that people can trip up on it, and then that too gets included in the boy. For example, pouring water in Rishus HaRabim, and it becomes it's slippery, so then that too would be considered boy. Now our case, coming to our case, now we had a case in the base, an interesting case where he had someone that rented an apartment, he was leasing premises, and the gate, the security gate, which opens and closes generally through a remote control, but here it had broken down, and as a result of that it was closing and opening just in the middle of the night, just at random. It just opened and closed. It was faulty. The motor had been tried. He tried to fix it a couple of times, but it was still broken. And out of a result of that, it kept it open and closed just like that, without anyone pressing anything. It would just open and close just like that. And it happened that as he was driving out, the one leasing the premises, so as he was driving out, suddenly the gate once again decides to close. And out of a result of that, it went bang, smash onto the car, and it caused a lot of damage. So now the one that took the premises, the one that was leasing the premises, he wants to claim, he filed a claim against the Bala Gate, the Bala Boyer, and saying that obviously he should have to pay, because it's his Boyer, and the Boyer should be chayim. Now the question is, as we discussed, is this Eish or Boyer? If it's Boyer, then there would be a Ptur. Because boy is part of the Canaan. And the car is something which isn't a shayr or chamayr, and therefore the Torah, such a thing would be potty, would be exempt from it. Why is it the same as a shayr or chamayr? It's not anything living, it's only the man that actually guides it out and in and out. It's not a... Actually, it's something which... A car is something which isn't...
It has to be a balcha?
Sure. Anything that's not balcha is considered defined as a Canaan. So because of that, it ought to be part of. The only thing is that it could well be, it could be defined as Eish, this type of mazik. Why? Because it's something, Eish is something, what's the difference between Eish and Boyer? So we know that also, it's also the beginning of Bava Kama, we say Eish is considered Koyach Acha Mo'uraboy. That means Eish, fire, has something else which is Mo'uraboy, it's active, and it walks, it's dark in the hazik. And in the case of Eish, it happens to be in the fire, there's always a wind that's aiding the fire. Sorry? And boy is completely passive, exactly. Boy is passive. So how do we define... Boy is a stationary, yeah. And
why isn't the
I'm sorry?
Why isn't the kohodom the method? The method
is... Kohodom, where? In which case? In the case of a car, if the car actually inflicts injury on someone, then you're right, then it's kohodom a mazik. But here we're talking about a case of the gate. The gate is being the mazik, the car. It's a reverse.
It is the mazik of the...
Exactly, the car is a case in the matzav of nizek, of being, it's being damaged. Right, so it's a gate that's being mazik. So now how do we define the hezek of the gate? Do we define the hezek of the gate as Eish, or do we define it as boy?
Eish,
Sorry?
About the laws of contract. If he rents a place, he assumes that it's safe for himself and his possessions.
Obviously, the understanding is that it's safe, but here the question is that was it negligence that he just didn't see to it, or is it something which he couldn't have avoided? We'll discuss, we'll come to that point. Yeah, definitely. There's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara discusses the case of Koisul Ve'inam Shanofel Yishus Rabbi Miziko, which means a wall which was falling, it wasn't in a good state, and just for argument's sake, the council had given notice that this wall has to be demolished. And as a result of that, but he just ignored it. So the Gemara says that Koisul Nishnofel Yishus Rabbi Miziko, so if at the time of falling, whilst it fell, it was mazik, then it's chayim. And so too, if once it had already fallen, and then someone stumbled over its bricks, then too one would be chayim. But the question is, why is one chayim? In the case of, at least at the time on the field, let's discuss the case of the time whilst it's falling. Whilst the case is not falling, it was actually mazik, incurred injury, on someone walking by. So the question is, why are you chayim? Is this aish or boy? Now really, the Gemara isn't actually too clear about it. The Gemara says, "La'asuya kaisav in shenafel yishus rabim." If a kaisav or a tree, the same case, it falls into yishus rabim and is mazik, so there, the Gemara says you're definitely chayiv. But the question is as to why you're chayiv. So it's not absolutely clear. And Tosfos said two pshatim. Tosfos says, according to one explanation, Tosfos said there should be aish because aish is moving and it's mazik. So too, the kaisav in are moving are mazik. Tosfos says it's not really koyachachem uruboy. In the case of Aish, you don't have, in the case of Kerechach Ma'urubai, there's a wind that's guiding the fire, and here that's aiding the fire, and here you don't have Aish. So Tosfos says that even so, it'll still be Aish. That's Tosfos in the Vav. According to Tosfos' second Terence, Tosfos says, V'hetek lach nefina nama motzaya, u'potum leshanan, but then Tosfos said that b'shas nefina, you can be medamet in the same way to Eish, just like to Boy. The Meish chaluk b'meisha ain kayach achem meure Boy, umi Boy chaluk b'meisha ain tchilas asiyos in the nezek. It's somewhat different to Boy because it's ain tchilas asiyos in the nezek. In any event, Tosfos says that really it could well be Eish. Tosfos says in the case of Kosev Inan, it could be categorized as Eish, and therefore one would be chayiv even on Canaan. As we explained before, Eish is one of the mazikim which would be chayiv even on Canaan, and so too Kaisman would be chayiv on Canaan. But Tosfos before that, prior to that, Tosfos says that there's a difference between Tosfos wants to be mechayiv mitzad boy. Tosfos said that af agav de boy ein hoylech lahazik ve'elu hoylechim u'mazikim yesh lanu lelamdom mi boy. The odif hezik did hu shoylechim mazikim mi boy she'en hoylechim mazik and a mazik bim koymai. Which means that boy is stationary, and because this moves, that doesn't take it out of boy. It's certainly just as good as boy, if not better, says Tosfos. Now the question is, so then any Aish, you know, what's the difference then between the two? So the Achronim explained that the idea between the difference, the differentiate between Aish and boy, Aish, is actually what's mazik there. The Aish itself is mazik. That means it's not the man that incurs injury because of his fall. Like in the case of boy, there it's completely a passive state of... there it's a case where what caused the mazik, the hezek, the fact that the man fell into the boy, or the man tripped up, but the actual peel of banana didn't actually inflict the injury. It's more in a passive way. There, that's how the man fell onto the piece. So it's the clap, as we say, and that's what caused the injury. And in the case, that's what defines boy. In the case of Aish, though, then it's the actual traveling of the fire, the Aish is a koyach hamazik in its own. Without the man, it's not the man that caused the injury. It's more the Aish that went to the man, and that's what caused the injury. So Tosfos says that because of that, when we talk about Kaisan and Inam, Shinoflu Lishus Rabim, so then it's a case where the Kaisan Inam Serini, it should be like Aish. Because the Kaisan Inam, it's the hakah, it's the klap that caused it. In the case of the kaisen inam, because there the kaisen inam actually inflicted the injury. B'shas nefila, yeah. When the kaisen inam actually falling onto the man, then it's very much daimet to Aish. So as a result of that, so because of that, one could understand that it should be daimet to Aish. Because just like in the case of Eishet travels and is mazik, so too the Kleis Nilon is traveling and that's what's mazik. The Kleis Nilon is causing the hezek out of a result of the fact that the Kleis of Nilon is coming towards a person and it knocks him. That's what knocks him. It's not that the man that falls in or trips up. It's more that the Kleis Nilon in their motion, they actually inflict injury. So that's very much daima to Eish. So because of that, the argument should be that it should be in a very much like Eish. And out of a result of that, one should be chayv on kelim. And similarly, in the case of the gate, the case of the gate has klei chachamur b'aniyah. It's got the electrical power that's working, that's activating it. And as a result of that, it gives a clap onto the car. So if that's what results in the damages, so because of that, it ought to be daima to Eish. But nevertheless, the other side is, and this is the other coin, the Nachas Tovi, the other side of the coin is that it could well be daima to Boyer in the fact that the difference between Boyer and Eish, there could be another fundamental difference. The case of Eish, when it's traveling, it travels wide, it travels anywhere, the wind can take it anywhere. But when it's within a certain range, that means the Kleisel and Inon fall in its place, that means the range is from where the wall falls onto the ground. So from where the wall starts falling onto the ground, so that range, that's all it is. So that's very much like in the case of Boy, where it's mamish restricted to its place. Likewise, in the case of our gate, so there too, it's really a case where the gate is only within its track. It can't actually go wide and beyond anywhere. It's within control of its certain range. And because of that, it could well be defined as boim. And that's the way Nachas Tovi actually explains. He says that the Kleis of the Inon is within a certain range, and because of that, it's far more to be compared rather to boim, rather than the case of Eish. So in our case, it could well be that it's a mazik of boyer rather than Eish, because it's within its track, and that's the way it's mazik. It can't go anywhere beyond that. The Rosh actually says clearly that this case of mazik would be a case of boyer, and based on that, it could well be that you ought to be potter in our case, because boyer potter like Enim. So depending as to whether we define it as Eish or to whether we define it as Boyer, that would become out a chiddush as to whether you're chayv or potter, depending on that. If we define it as Eish, which means why? Because the Eish, that's what gives a clap and that's what inflicts injury. Because it's Eish that works, that's activated, so then it would be daima to Eish, then you'd be chayv. But then it would have the ptur of tomel. If we're going to compare it to Boyer, why? Because it's within a certain range that it just falls there and there on in its place. So because of that, it would be defined as boy rather than Eish. So as a result of that, we ought to be pater kelim. True. Yes. It could well be that it wouldn't be Chitzov, because Chitzov has to start at least from his own premise where he's actually taken part in it. It could well be it's Mamayna. But even so, Mamayna is also Chayav. Mamayna is also Chayav. The only difference is, by Chitzov there, it could be that Tomon will be Chayav. Whilst in the case of Mamayna, Tomon is for sure part of it. So coming back to our case, so we're saying that if it's Boyer, then it could be argued that you should be Potter. But nevertheless, you see, when we talk about Boyer, it's Potter on Kalim. But there could still be a Chiyu B'dei Shemayim. And on that itself, there's also machloikas between the Acharonim. The Chaznish seems to say that Torah patters Shoy B'dei Adam Chamoy B'dei Kenim. So if an Adam is potter in the case of Boyer, the Baal HaBoy doesn't need to pay anything, and Chamoy B'dei Kenim, Kenim would be, if Kenim get damaged, then one is potter to pay. So he says that Torah gives a specific patron, then you'll be a potter. And you're exempt completely. There's no Chiyu B'dei Shemayim, there's nothing. There's no Chiyu whatsoever. However, not so simple, because the Bikur Shmuel discusses it. He says, he talks about Shen Beregel in Rishus Rabim. It's also another type of mazik. It's out of Shoyim. So there, Shen Beregel, Rishus Rabim is Potter. So there he says, you're Potter there. It could well be a Chai B'dei Shemayim. So then he says, even if there you're not Chai B'dei Shemayim, but in the case of Boyer, where Adam and Kalim are Potter, but there you'd be Chai B'dei Shemayim. Because there it says you're still responsible. You may not be Chayim, but you still have to play an active role in guarding it. And you have to actually be shomer on it. You have to protect it. You may not be chayav should it happen, and you may not be chayav should anything happen, but you definitely have to take responsibility to try and protect, then nothing should happen. And because of that, so there should be, it could be argued as a chibud shemaim. Incidentally, Zalman Chaim Goldberg, he always explains that in the case of pshara, when you don't go according to strict din, you go according to pshara, then one has to always go ahead and take into account any chiyuv in b'day shemayim. Although, if you're going according to din, so then chiyuv in b'day shemayim is not something that can be extracted by beis din. So then that's a different cheshbon. Then you have to sort out between the Tavei and Nitva, the claimant and the respondent themselves. They have to sort themselves out. If the Nitva says he doesn't want to pay, because it's only b'day shemayim, it's on an ethical level, then he doesn't need to pay. But when you're talking about pshara, you're compromising pshorim and krayv aladin, so then one should take into account even chiyuvim, which are only chiyuvim midei shemayim, even that too should be taken into account. For example, groma is a classical case where generally, it could be also garmi, but I would say many, very many cases are groma, where nevertheless, although one is potter midei odom, but nevertheless it's still be a chiyuv midei shemayim. And therefore it's certainly to be taken into account when it comes to making a compromise or sorting an issue out between the claimant and the nitva, one should also take into account the fact that there could be a chiyuv b'dei shemayim. So here too, according to, as we mentioned, the Birkas Shmuel, there would be a chiyuv b'dei shemayim. Even though a shoyer, a boyer is poton kenim, and we're assuming that our case is a case of boyer, and in which case it'd be poton kenim, and therefore any damages which were inflicted on the car, one should be potter, but nevertheless, there would still be a chiyuv b'dei shemayim, according to the Birkas Shmuel. So on that...
If it's a tzeres hakosov, then it should be...
That's a Chaznish's argument. The Chaznish's argument is that he says... It could be that, there are two ways of understanding it. I'm saying the Torah says that shoyer v'lo adam chamei v'lekeinim. I mean, that's how Chazal dash in it. So the understanding is that shoyer v'lo adam, either it's a p'tur completely. On the other hand, it could be through indirect cause, you caused the damage. So therefore, it may not be specific. The Torah may not be closing the doors completely because of that. The Torah just says that Beis Din cannot be Mechayim. Just like in the case of Groma, for example. It's not something that Beis Din can be Mechayim on, although there could be a Chiyuv. I'm saying that the Torah didn't allow Beis Din to extract any money based on Groma grounds. You mean it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah that you're potter?
If a woman doesn't do a mitzvah, she's not groma, she can be chayv because she was mavatul mitzvah.
No, certainly not.
The Torah says she's potter. She's potter.
Yeah.
So if the Torah gives a class of here, Adam lekeinim, Shem lebar lekeinim.
Yeah, Shem lebar lekeinim.
Then
the
potter is potter, right?
Yeah, correct. And that's what Chazish said. But the only thing is, the Birkas Shmuel proves the fact that moina lecha, meaning that you still have a chiyuv of achrayas, and because of your chiyuv achrayas, you may not be responsible should anything happen, but you still have a chiyuv shmir. You still have a chiyuv to protect it, the item that shouldn't be nizik.
You are chayav for chamar, and you are chayav for shur. So it shows that there is a chiyuv, but the chiyuv is constrained, is limited.
Yeah, but I think it's more than that. The fact that you still have to watch out and check out that your boy shouldn't be mazik anything, including kalim. You still do have a chiyuv. It's not. You have a chiyuv to protect it. For example, there can be cases of, in the case of Avor Shemin, the four custodians, when one is potter in the case of Karaka, right? There's nevertheless a chiyuv shmir there. That means you still have to make sure that nothing should happen. Should something happen in the event that something happens, then you'll be potter. So often enough, you do find such things. The Torah potters you, meaning if something happens, but the Torah doesn't exempt you from the chiyuv shmir. So it could well be that the chiyuv shmir, that's what the cause of the chiyuv b'dei shemayim, for the chiyuv shmir.
In this chiyuv b'dei shemayim,
yes,
is it morally right to pay yourself, or do you say, not my chef, the
extra teetery? No, not at all. Rather you do it, you sort it out yourself. Well, when it's a chiyuv b'dei shemayim, it means that it's not something that you can submit a claim to based in. That's basically what he means. Morally, ethically, you should definitely sort it out. But here, nevertheless, here it can be argued that here there's a patur. Why should there be a patur here completely? Because the Achrayim talk about a case where we discussed if mayim gets poured on the ground and someone slips on the mayim, so he said mayim is boyer. Mayim is considered a boyer, and therefore you'd be chayim. But why is it in a case of a mikveh place? If someone slips on the floor, so can one then lay a claim against the Baal HaMikveh and tell him, look what you've done to me, and you've caused me to slip? The answer is obviously not, because it's something where...
Wet.
Especially where, and obviously,
it's a Western area.
Pardon? Of course, in Edmonton you have to be careful. You have to be aware of the fact that there is mime on the floor. And that you have to be careful. So too, the Achronim already write clearly that in cases where it's clear there's a boiler there, then obviously it's for you to take care that you don't slip up and you don't slip and damage yourself and injure yourself. So in that case, you can't lay any claims against the Balaboy. Similarly, here, where actually it's a case where he knew the gate was broken. It wasn't something where just for the first time it suddenly smashed onto his car. It was something that kept opening and closing at random. And because of that, because he was knowing, he should have obviously been careful. He knew there was a faulty gate.
There was a notice there saying that this gate is faulty.
There wasn't a notice. No, but he himself was aware of it. So he just took a risk driving in and out, and he thought, all should be well. But it's something which he should have been careful about. So in such a case, I don't think he can lay any claim against the Balaboy, just like in the case of the mikveh. But furthermore, it could also be argued even further. You see this, it had broken down in the past, and they've tried to fix it. The technicians have been there, and at least twice in previous occasions, and they had tried to fix it in the past. But it hadn't worked. Each time it broke down again. So because of that, that's already a case of oinus, where it's something where he tried his best. I'm saying the Balaboy, the one who is the owner, he had tried to fix it in the past, and because of that, through the guy, yeah, certainly that would have been a way out. You can't park outside in South Africa. You have to park inside. Yeah. Or to open it manually. Yeah, but how would he have got out? So each time he would have... So in any event, but also, I'm saying it's not just that, it's also that the Balaboy himself had actually taken care, he had tried on previous occasions to fix it, and because of that, any case of Ish, or in the case of Boy, where it's Ba'anus, where it's something out of a result of when he had done his best, and he had tried to fix things up, and if it didn't work, then it's a case of Ainus. It's only if he hadn't attended to it, and he hadn't seen to it, so the first time, then Anachanami, then possibly maybe there would be a Chibud Shemaim. I'm saying, so obviously we're talking about a case where it had been broken. So the stuff is, no, we exempted him completely, even on the Chibud Shemaim, based on the argument that we just explained, because Aleph, he should have been careful. He should have taken care that he doesn't just drive his car when he knew that it can open at random, it's broken, it's faulty. And secondly, also the fact that the guy had done his best, he had fixed it on previous occasions. It could well be that he wasn't even notified that he had broken down on the gate. He thought, the owner had thought that he had fixed it.
No,
I think he said that it was never fixed properly. That's what he said. That's what he argued. So I'm saying he should have been aware. The owner didn't actually know what was going on, so he should have said, in that case, he can't even mechayev a din shemayim. So just to summarize in brief, basically we've explained that there are two different types of mazik. There's a mazik of Eish, there's a mazik of Boyin. There are differences in each one. Eish would be chayim on kelim, Boyin would be potom on kelim. Eish would be chayim on, would be potom on tomon. Each one with their own halachas. But we're explaining that either one defines the difference between the two. Eish can be defined as something where the traveling of the fire, that's what's mazik. And in the case of boy, it's a stationary, it's rather the man that inflicts injury on himself, so to speak, through the boy. And then, based on that, we said that Kleisel and Elon, where there, it's actually the clap that caused the damage, so therefore it would be more compared to fire. And likewise, in our case of this electrical gate, that it's something where the electrical gate is what's causing the damage whilst it's going, whilst it's activating itself. And because of that, it would be compared to Aish, in which case he would be chayv in the case of the car. Whilst it could be argued, like Tosa and the Rosh seem to say, that there's a chiyuv mitzad boya, and the reason is, as we said, because it's only within a certain restrained track, and because of that, it's more doimed to boya. The Nachas Tomid calls it, we know as Rosh Hashanah is called the Yom HaRichter, he calls it the boya richter, because he says that the case of the boya, it's an extended boya, it's just in its track, it just extends itself forward a little. But it's really boy. It's part and parcel of the hezek of the mazik of boy. And because of that, one certainly would be potter, according to that. But then we did explain that although there's a chibidei shemayim, according to many achronim, there would be a chibidei shemayim. But here, based on the fact that the guy should have taken extra care, the one driving in and out, he knew, he was aware of the fact that it was faulty. And nevertheless, He drove in and out, just hoping for the best. So that's something which he should have been taking extra care. And because of that, it's not something which can be mechayim b'din shamayim. And certainly, in the light of the fact that the guy had tried to fix it, and therefore it's considered an oinus, in which case, even the chiyuv b'din shamayim would be off.